Well, we're in the book of Acts. I don't know that we got very far last week at all. I don't know if we got a full verse in or not. So some weeks it seemed like we're too slow, and other weeks we're trying to cram too much in. But y'all bear with us this morning, and this is going to probably get real close to what Brother Jeff preached on last week. And boy, again, he done such a good job of that. This is all above me, and I don't have any of the answers, to be honest with you, but we just try to study it together. So we appreciate y'all's input on this and help us out. We're all just trying to learn together. But Acts chapter 18 and 23, we'll start there. We may read a little bit, and then we'll probably back up a little. But 18 and 23, and after he had spent time there, he departed. And talking about Paul, and he's referring to it as he, because again, we believe that Luke was one that wrote this. So just whenever you see those things. But after he had spent time there, he had departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And I liked how they put that in order. You know, so does that mean that he went in the same order that he went to begin with? And I just wondered about that, but it made a point there to say that he went in order, or does that mean that he just went in an orderly fashion? But it seemed like Paul liked to take that northern route, and he run in a counterclockwise circle almost, from what we could tell of his previous missions anyway. But he said he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. So went and helping them out and encouraging and telling them what was to come and how good they could, you know, if they'll follow the Lord and do what he wanted done. I believe that's what he went and strengthening them, tell them the reasons why. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, and came to Ephesus. So Alexandria is on our map here, way down here in Egypt. That's where he was from. So they were, Paul's heading up in this direction. It said after he had left this area, and he's coming back over this way, and he'll soon be heading into Ephesus. But it talked about Phrygia, and that's mentioned here, but that's kind of this entire area here. So Antioch of Pisidia and all of that was in that area. Lystra and Derbe is over here, and Iconium, part of Galatia, and that type stuff. So that's that's where Paul's at this point in time. But it mentions where Apollos is from there in the northern part of Egypt. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And we may get to some of those definitions here in just a bit. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass unto Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Achaia is over in this area. That's all of this region. And so it could have been multiple areas that he went into, but it referred to Achaia. But that's where Corinth was set up, and that's where Cenchrea is right on the outside of Corinth. So when they mentioned he was heading over into Achaia, didn't necessarily pinpoint where he might be going out of that region, but we soon find out he ended up in Corinth. But it said there in the 27th, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. So they sent a letter of some sort for this man, didn't they? And it said, exhorting the disciples to receive him. Now, we believe that to be how we do with letters. We would basically say it's talking about who the man was and what he was and what he believed had nothing to do with the church that he was coming from. It mentioned the man. And it said, "Help and whom, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ." So we recognize he had went into this synagogue, and it said that Aquila and Priscilla had heard. Now, does that mean that they were there with him and heard that? Are they worshiping and serving in the synagogue? Are they doing what they've seen Paul do and how Paul would go into these synagogues, and then that the Lord would impress him, and then he would stand up and speak for what he knew of Jesus Christ? But we recognize that Priscilla and Aquila had taught this man something. They've told him something that he was lacking. But then we recognize it said there in the 28th, "For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ." So like what we've talked about before, how did Paul do it? How did Apollos do it? He went back into the Old Testament, and he showed them of the prophecy of the things to come, and he was pointing to, hey, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. When you read this, that's talking about Jesus. Well, he would convince them by the scripture that Jesus had come and that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. Any thoughts on any of that so far? And we may read a little bit into the 19th. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus." So Paul's coming in on this northern route. He's coming into Ephesus, of which Apollos has already been. And Apollos has already left, and he's all the way over in Achaia. He's down in Corinth. "Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." This, and y'all help me, that we can understand this. And recognizing, first of all, that this is a transitional time. Brother Jeff talked about that last week. When we dig in to find out a little bit about John, because it mentions that here in just a bit, in the third, "And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And he said, What? Not by whom." Recognize that. "What were you baptized with? And they said, Unto John's baptism." So, we believe as missionary Baptists, when you get saved, there's a Holy Ghost. There's something in you now, right? But we have to take this for what it is, because it said we believe these individuals are already saved. And it says that they've never heard of the Holy Ghost. Didn't know what it was. Did they have it and not know what it was? Well, we're not saying you don't recognize salvation. You don't know when that happens. But I know there was a time in my life that I could not explain, and I can't do a good job of it now. But there was something that happened, and then over the years, after you've been saved, and after you've joined the Lord's church, that then you start trying to put the pieces together, what had happened those 10 or 15, 20 years beforehand. And you can't describe what it was. But they said, we've not even heard of this Holy Ghost. But I believe they knew what salvation was. So maybe it's not that they didn't have something in their heart. It's just they wasn't able to describe it. But again, I want to say this. This is a transitional time. What John was doing, what he was baptizing, he was preparing the materials. Well, did he stop the second that he baptized Jesus? He did not. And we'll be able to back up and show that here, hopefully. Lord will. So there's things going on. There's some that's being taught. There's some that's being baptized. And like Brother Jeff said, I don't doubt that some of them, through their own zeal, wanting to carry on that, and was baptizing beyond what John had showed them. Maybe they went out and they was baptizing some. So, hey, we all get things wrong, especially when we're when we're new to this stuff and we're feeling very zealous and you just want to go out and do things, but you recognize what Apollos done. He didn't make a big stink of it. We believe that he understood something that they've taught him. And because later on, it'll be, you know, Paul will talk about that he'd planted and Apollos watered, and he encouraged all that, didn't he? Yeah. So we get down to the third verse there, and it said that unto John's baptism. So I want to try to back up a little bit, maybe, and understand who John was. Probably silly, but I need to know this stuff, so I'm trying to figure it out. And maybe y'all have got it figured out. Y'all can help me. But when we read of John in the Bible, how many Johns is he? What books? Who did what? Who wrote what? So my belief is we got John the Baptist, and we've got John, brother of James, the son of Zebedee. John the Baptist was the son of Zechariah. No, I'm pronouncing that wrong. What was it? No, starts with a Z. I'm pulling. It is Zechariah, yeah. I was getting my Kings mixed. Yeah, I'm thinking Kings. John, the son of Zacharias. And then the book of John, when we read in just the before the book of Acts, there's the book of John there. And that's the son of, or brother of James, son of Zebedee. And I believe that to be the same one that would write 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelations. So y'all correct me if I'm wrong on that, but that's how that I'm seeing it. So recognize John the Baptist. That's who we're talking about in this. So when we say knowing the baptism of John, well, let's try to study this a little bit. Let's go into in the book of John. We'll take from there. We'll go to the first chapter, 6-8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And Luke, let's go over there and read that. Chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And that's where we get to, you could read some of the rest of that chapter there, but that's referring to his dad. That's John's dad, and his name was Zacharias. And then in 13-17, it says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." Now, like I said, we got to hit some of this stuff head on. Now, we recognize John here, filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. That does not mean that he's saved from his womb. We need to understand that, because if we did, we'd be saying that that you'd have to get into that predestination stuff, and we just don't believe in that. So I'll leave that for Brother Barry or somebody like that to teach on one of these days. But I just wanted you to see that. The Holy Ghost there, it mentions that, and we got to deal with it. So I believe that every time that you read in here the Holy Ghost, it doesn't necessarily refer to you being saved. And I believe when we get into Paul here after a while, we'll read that, but we believe Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, but it wasn't until he got into Ananias' house that he got the Holy Ghost. So how would you say, no, there's a definitive line there. When you get saved, that's when you get it. Well, like what I've heard Brother Jeff say before, if you say that he wasn't saved on the road to Damascus, then they've called a lost man to preach. We got to deal with that, ain't we? It's there. So when we read this Holy Ghost, there must be a little bit of a variance there, but keeping in mind this is a transitional time when things is going on. So for us today, we may not compare to these times, because we definitely can't go out and heal somebody like Paul could.
A simple way to me, the way to help to understand it somewhat, is just when we get saved, we receive the witness in our heart, the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And then the gift, to me, when we're joined the church, we receive the gift or the benefits of the Spirit. And of course, the church, for one thing, is it's supposed to teach. And if you just think of it on this line of a, when a little baby is born, that baby is the baby to that mom. But that baby doesn't know mama's voice, but it don't take very long till they can establish that mama's voice or the daddy's voice, if you use it that way. And when we're babies in Christ, we have to learn the vocabulary of the Spirit of God, in a sense of speaking. Yes, when we get saved, we know we got saved. But yet we have to, as babes in Christ, we have to learn the vocabulary of the Spirit. I still have trouble with it.
Amen.
I still get this right up here mixed up with this. I think in a lot of ways the gift that in the book of Acts is talking about, I think the gift of the Holy Spirit is whenever we're baptized into the church that we receive those benefits of the gift.
Yeah.
You know.
I could see that, and that terminology that we'll see over in the book of John, he refers to the Comforter being passed to the church.
Yeah.
Is that Comforter? Is that part of this Holy Ghost?
I believe it is.
Amen.
I believe where when John said, "I baptize you with water," but he and they will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Yeah. And that happened. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
And he told them in John 14, he said, I didn't say something else will come unto you. He said, I will come unto you. And he himself came into the way of the Holy Ghost
Man.
To the church on the day of Pentecost. And, you know, and I know it was to happen on the day of Pentecost, but that's where he told them. He said, you tarry.
Amen.
You sit right here. Don't you do nothing.
Amen.
Because you can't do nothing without me. And that's what he's saying. You'll make a mess out of it. That's what's happening to us today.
Amen.
Every time we try to do something without him, we make a mess.
Lord help.
But he said, you just sit right here. And on that day then, what happened? It shook. And there was fiery tongues came down from heaven. And the church was endued with power from on high. The church itself was baptized.
Yep.
And that's, you know, the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And that's the reason why we have to, you know, stick with that baptism.
Amen.
Because that's where they was off on there. They said, we even heard of it.
Mm.
Well, Apollos was doing a good job. And I never thought about that, but how you said they wrote the letters. If that had been us, Aquila and Priscilla, I think that's what they took him aside and said, listen, you're doing a good job, but you've got the wrong baptism.
Yep.
You need to get this straightened up to where you can baptize. But he was all messed up, but they got him straightened up, and what they'd all do, then they turned around and wrote a letter. Today, if a preacher messed up like that right under, you'd be put out to pastor, and you'd never be heard of again. But they turned around and wrote a letter.
Amen.
And recommend you.
Yes.
You know, we don't need it. You know, we just get too tore up over stuff.
Yeah.
And we need to help somebody.
Amen.
And then move on.
Amen.
But anyway, and I'm not trying to.
No, I thank you. Trust me.
There's your gift. He said, I'm going to come to you. And then you get to the first chapter of Acts, you'll read it. He said, not many days hence.
Amen.
This has come. And you know, and it did.
Yeah.
And that was the Comforter is him. And it's gave to the church. It ain't gave it to everything else. You know, I love, there's people like, over in the book of Mark.
Go ahead. Amen. You're fine.
Over in the book of Mark, there was one that was out casting out devils.
Yeah, amen.
But they come to him, the disciples found him, and they come to Jesus, and they said, he's casting out devils in thy name. Sure, we rebuke him, or should we stop him? He said, no, why? He said, no way they can cast out devils in my name. and be against us. So even though he should have been following after him, even though he should have been a member of the Lord's church, he still didn't rebuke him. There's people out there under doing a
Amen.
Word.
God bless.
That's teaching salvation that people are getting saved.
Amen.
But I don't believe they got the right baptism.
Yeah.
And so there's a special gift there that's only given to the Lord's church.
Yeah.
When you preach on this, you got to be careful because people get upset.
Yeah.
But we got, and it ain't being arrogant. Don't ever be arrogant about it. But it's just something that we're blessed to have.
Amen.
And we've got to stick with that. And that's the reason why we do so closely. Because those scriptures you
Amen.
Just read, they said, we ain't even heard of it. We don't know nothing about it. And then what happened? They were baptized in the name
Amen.
Of Christ. They got scriptural baptism. And then the same thing happened on the day of Pentecost happened to them. And that's the reason we stick with that same baptism down through the years, over and over and over. Because if you don't, before you know it, you don't have it no more.
Lord help.
You take in one or two that don't have it, one or two more that don't have it, and next thing you know, you don't no longer have the gift and the comforter with you anymore. So it's so.
Amen.
We stick with that.
Amen.
And I know it's hard to understand. It's hard for me to understand. Brother Larry's bragged on me all week. I don't understand it all. But listen, we need to try to get a little grasp on it.
Yes.
Because that's what we believe. Why do we believe it? What he's been reading, why do we believe it? And so, anyway, you're doing a good job. I love this subject.
Amen.
Because it's what we are.
That's right.
There's been many that's died through the years
Amen.
For this. And they hung on to it so strongly. And I don't think we need to just let it go.
Yeah.
And
Amen. Appreciate that, Brother Jeff. That's good stuff. Well put. Well put. In Luke 1:77, we'll kind of read about maybe the purpose of John. We talk about who he was. Well, we kind of got to know what his intentions is, don't we? So 1:76-80, in the book of Luke. And thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. We talk about preparing the materials. And that's kind of, you know, I often wonder, like you mentioned, you bring what you just said into today's time. You know, if somebody's getting the gospel out there and they're being saved, we got to be careful of that. We can't go in there tearing that down. They're being saved. Now, do they have it all together? Maybe not. But are they not preparing some type of material that church might could use and benefit from? We've got to be really careful with that. You know, we can be fruit inspectors, I've heard some say, and we can ask the right questions and feel confident in their testimony, but just because they may come from some place that doesn't have missionary Baptist written above their door don't mean we need to go tearing that down.
Amen. You know, when the first real great awakening began back in the 1720s, it was a Methodist that started it.
Amen.
Baptists don't like to hear that, but it was a Methodist. George Whitefield was one of those, among Jonathan Edwards and others. But after people was getting saved just by the hundreds and hundreds, you know, because he was preaching a born-again experience to people that never had heard of that. But the majority of those that got saved in George Whitefield's own writing joined the Baptist Church. And George Whitefield himself, he made the statement that surely we have been a nursery for the Baptists.
Amen.
A nursery is where you plant these trees.
Yes.
But then you pull them up
and
you plant them somewhere else. So George Whitefield himself was a Methodist, and he said, surely we have merely been a nursery for the Baptists.
Amen.
But they were getting saved in those Methodists and Presbyterian yep. board just coming and going, and they was the ones that started the big revival.
Yep.
And the Baptist benefited because the yeah. Lord put them in the Baptist churches.
Amen.
And who would have not George Whitefield and Jonathan?
Amen. That's right.
They were preaching the truth.
Yeah.
Just because they don't see everything eye to eye, I mean, we need to leave them alone and pray with them.
Amen.
There are several members of Rocky Mountain, John Carter being one of them, Thomas Carter's wife that was saying the Methodist Church that Mount Union was. Used to Rocky Mountain, they met like one Sunday a month, and they would go down there. But at that time, they still have an altar and they still practice. And they let them sing the Lord until they got saved. And so
Amen.
There are several. There are different ones. I know she's one of them, but there are different ones that in their testimony, that's what they were saying.
Amen.
So
our mama got saved. Listen to her preaching on the radio. We wouldn't be sure Baptist, but what she heard, God, it was enough for her to realize she needed to be saved and God convicted her heart.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I got saved on the front porch.
Amen.
Wasn't in no church no more.
Amen.
I'm just as saved as anybody else does.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. God bless. In 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. That's what he's teaching, ain't it? Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. That's who he was. That's what his intention was. Isaiah 40 and 3. We may turn over there and read that. One of these days I'll mark these pages, try to speed this up for y'all. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So I just wonder if maybe Priscilla and Aquila didn't help Apollos with what that was, you know. You think they might have said, hey, bud, you're on the right track, and we believe this is, you know, we believe what John's doing, and we believe that was his purpose, but here was his overall purpose. But then eventually they'd get down to the point of telling about the coming of the church age. And that's basically what Apollos was missing, wasn't it? Any thoughts on any of that? And like I said, John was a transitional figure, forming a link from the Old Testament to the New. So that's why we say this is a difficult time here to understand all of what's going on there. Like when we'd mentioned, you know, John's baptizing, and now he's baptizing until Jesus gets there, but he doesn't stop at that point. John's message, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, in Matthew 3 and 2, if you want to read that. But he was to baptize those who sincerely repented of their sins, Matthew 3 and 1. And it was Mark 6 and 14. We may just read that real quick. Six and 14, and King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said, that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mightily works do show forth themselves in him. But he was mistaken as to who he was, but he knew John as the Baptist, didn't he? We didn't see John's name by Zacharias was John the Baptist, did we? He was given that name, and who was he given that name from? King Herod. Because he's seen what he was doing. Even a man on the outside could see what his intention was and what he was doing, preparing the materials. And John was no crowd pleaser. And he confronted the hypocrisy of the religious establishment at the time. In Matthew 3 and 7, we may read that. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? That probably wasn't real popular, what he was saying right then, was it? And he exposed Herod and his immorality and the things that he was doing wrong and with his brother's wife, I believe it was, wasn't it? To compare his convictions. Matthew 14:3-12. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. Now we see that title being given again by a non-believer. And the king was sorry nevertheless for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. So he wasn't worried about his life at all. He was doing what was right and called sin sin. And we see where that got him. And persecution come our way more likely if we live long enough and try to teach and preach and whatever it may be for you to carry out God's word. Next thought, boy, it's amazing what the Lord can show you, you know. In Malachi 3:1, if we can find Malachi this morning, Malachi 3:1, and I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now go to 4:5. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, John specifically said he wasn't Elijah in John 1:21. 1:21 says, And they asked him, What then, art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. But then, Matthew 17:11-13. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things, but I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listened. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Was he talking about John there? So maybe not person, you know, because we recognize it been Elijah, but did John come in the spirit of Elijah? Was that fulfilled there?
Come in the spirit of Elijah.
Amen.
In a lot of ways, it's like the mission that was foretold by Elijah. What was it, Jeremiah, even he said even before he was formed in his belly of his mother, God knew him, God had a purpose for him. And I think that when it talks about how John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb,
amen,
he was filled with a mission. He had a pre-planned
yes,
a purpose, and that was to fulfill what Elias had talked about.
Amen.
And I think
amen.
That's why he was filled with the Holy Ghost. It was a mission that God was going to use him for.
Amen. Well said. I'm glad it's you, not me.
Right or wrong.
Amen. we'll squeeze in one more, and then we'll try to dismiss. That way everybody can take a little time in between. But Brother Jeff said it earlier, but John was to baptize with water, and Jesus baptized with the Holy Ghost. John 1, 26 through 33. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latch and I'm not worthy to unloose. These things were done Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I have said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. He knew him not. Now, truth, because what we had read earlier, John, born of the Holy Ghost, and it talked about him living out in the wilderness from there on, but we recognize he was Jesus' first cousin too, don't we? Yeah. So it ain't like they was raised up and running around there together for several years, and then they just decided to do this on their own, but they said he knew him not. Therefore am I coming baptizing with water, and John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon me, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, he said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So that's where we pick that up again, baptizing with the Holy Ghost. We may be at a good place to stop there. But we talked about that transition period. So Jesus' ministry, we say, was what, about 3 years, 3.5 years, somewhere in there? Well, that would have started after he was baptized, right? So you got John. I don't know how long he lived. How long did he live after he baptized? How many did he baptize beforehand or after? We talked about that transitional period and how many people would have been out, and he said that he had to decrease, and we may see next week, but maybe do a better job showing it on the map. But John was baptized in multiple different places that I think we'll easily be able to show somewhere around 50 to 60 miles difference there. So John's still doing quite a bit even after Jesus had been baptized. So give you something to chew on there. We may get back to that next week, Lord willing. Anything to add?
Amen. A lot of that just confirms to me, amen, that Jesus set the church up on the mountain. That's when the church,
amen,
started.
Amen.
That's the pinpoint.
Yes.
All what you're doing just to me just backs that up.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all consider yourself dismissed. Thank you for that.